welcome to another episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We'll be discussing the Celtics and Rajon Rondo's huge injury that happened this weekend and was discovered today. So how you doing, Bobby?
I'm holding up, is how I'll describe it, on the heels of this emotional Celtics victory and the news that Rajon Rondo is going to be out for the season with a torn ACL.
Well, as Boston fans, you know, we're really, really torn by today because it was one of those situations where the team didn't know. No one knew except for Doc and maybe the coaching staff that Rondo was done. And they come out, put out their gutsiest effort this season. Arguably, the season has started today for me because now they are actually playing up to their potential and now can actually spread their wings, oddly enough, without their superstar, who was supposed to be their superstar, quote-unquote, coming into this season. You know, do you think that that is the reason why they showed it today more than ever? Because they felt, you know what, maybe Rondo's going to be out for a little bit. We don't really know what's going on. Do you think maybe that had that played a part?
Yeah. I believe that this is a team that plays with a lot of mental toughness, a lot of grit and balls, as they like to say. You've also heard the term bar fight thrown around this season. And amidst the Rondo injury, they really seem to rally around each other. Once they get that us against the world mentality, which is seems to be the team approach right now with the Rondo injury and with everyone saying it's the end of the Pierce and Garnett era and this team can't win because Rondo's not there, they rally, they get a pivotal victory against the Heat at home in double overtime, and we'll see how it goes. Like Paul Pierce said, they're just going to take it a day at a time.
Yeah, Doc said you can write the obituary, but I'm not. You know, coming into today, the Celtics were playing terribly. They were. You know, they had a great first half on Friday in Atlanta. You know, after a solid, I guess you can call it a somewhat solid game at home against the Knicks. But a lot of losses, had their longest losing streak of the Kevin Garnett era. People are saying that they think that this is over. People think that this is over for the Celtics this year. That's what I'm hearing from everybody. People are telling me, people are saying, I think that you can make another run at this. Bobby, you were telling me before that they can go out and find pieces. There are guys that the Celtics can go get and improve this team for this year and play like it was 2009 when they had the Kevin Garnett injury after they won the championship. You know, this is not the end. This is just another beginning or another step that they can take to do something. Because today signified that this team has the depth and the players to come together and play well.
Yeah, names that immediately come to mind are Jose Calderon and Kyle Lowry in Toronto, where you figure one of those two guards is going to be moved by the trade deadline. And then you look around for a big man to acquire if you're the Celtics, and you see that in Washington, they've made a run, won 7 of their last 10, but the ceiling for this team is getting into the playoffs, and you don't know if that's going to happen either. So do they trade? You know, they've got two big men, Nene and Emeka Okafor, making roughly $13 million this season and on the books for next season. It's definitely the conventional move to trade one of them as opposed to keep them both and try and get the 8th seed in the playoffs where you get bounced in the first round by Miami. I understand the positives of making the playoffs, but I think you got to go with the conventional move there, and that logic prevails, and we'll see one of them, likely Emeka, moved by the deadline as well. And that's another guy who the Celtics should try and jump on because despite the contract I just mentioned, a big man who averages over 8 rebounds a game and can score, he stays healthy, he's athletic. I like that addition for the Celtics.
There are players to be had, and those guys you just mentioned can bolster their size and bolster their point guard depth. We also have Keon Dueling, as we had discussed before the show, who can, you know, get himself back into shape in the next few months. And then, of course, Delonte West, who has had troubles off the court. You know, the Celtics might hesitate to bring him back, but he is another option. And you know, there really are a lot of guys out there. And if, you know, another shooter out there, Sasha Vujacic, I'm pretty sure he's still out there. The Machine, I love playing with him in video games. Bobby knows from past experience. you know, other than my video game experience with him, I still think that he can, you know, be a shooter for them. You know, they have been struggling a little bit from the outside. But this team is not done yet. Today they showed, maybe it was the opponent, maybe stepping up to play against the Heat, which the Celtics are now undefeated against in the regular season in the LeBron era at TD Garden, 5-0, and now 8-2 overall, including the playoffs at TD Garden since LeBron went to Miami. You know, they held Miami to below 100 points, which is amazing, for a double overtime game. I understand Miami and Boston play at a low possession rate because they have very good, or, you know, seem to have very good offenses in the half court. You know, maybe the Celtics' offensive efficiency has gone down, but their offense is still a strong offense that plays at a slow pace and wants to play at a slow pace for the most part. And, you know, they have, you know, they started the fast break a little bit this year, but they still play at that low pace compared to the rest of the league. And the Celtics holding the Heat to a low number today, they held them to below 100 points, and that was huge because when the Miami Heat score 100 points or more, they're 22-2 this season, and when they score at least 102 points this season, they're undefeated, a 21-0 record, which is amazing for a team. And you know, the Celtics didn't let them get up there, and Pierce even got his triple-double going into overtime, got it, I think, in the first overtime today. And that was really cool to see because he kind of, you know, Rondo kind of passed the baton, the triple-double baton, which is now a three-straight game situation for the Celtics.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Pierce gets his triple-double when? On national TV. So clearly he got it from Rondo. And it was also nice to see another torch be passed, so to speak, to Jeff Green. We'll see if he drops it once again after a strong performance, or if he can carry this the rest of the season. He's the X factor for this team, a role that he'll now share with the Rondo injury. But looking at this team, Adam, as currently constructed, the pairing of Courtney Lee and Avery Bradley in the starting lineup is one heck of a defensive combination. It's also a pretty athletic one that likes to run the floor. And then you add Jared Solinger to the starting lineup, and you already know the energy that he's going to bring, not to mention the presence on the offensive glass. And Brandon Bass, for the first time maybe ever as a Celtic, of course that's an exaggeration, but I can't remember the last time that I've seen him play physical. He was tracking down loose balls, hustling, utilizing his strength for, I'll just say, the first time in a while. So that was refreshing to see. Maybe a bench role is better suited for him. And Doc Rivers is going to have to change plays around. A lot of it was reliant upon Rondo's ball-handling dominance. But now, with these two great athletes, Lee and Bradley, who are both better shooters than Rondo, although his mid-range game has come a very long way, you can run some fun, creative plays that you probably didn't have before, utilizing the two. And so it's not going to be, well, the ball movement, what's that going to look like? You saw it today. Guys, the movement without the ball was much better than when Rondo's been in the games. And on top of that, it's just running different plays where you don't have to worry about Lee and Bradley facilitating the offense. It'll come through the coaching strategy of Doc Rivers.
It's a huge thing having Doc Rivers at the helm here. He has struggled to incorporate Jason Terry into the offense so far, but maybe this injury, this Rondo injury, could turn things around as far as the playbook strategy goes. I wanted to touch on Brandon Bass for a little bit here. Two efforts of 0 points in his last four games, and those were both starting. But he's played bench-type minutes, so really the rotations are the thing that's changing now. And I think that's a huge thing, and it's going to be worrisome because, you know, the bench unit was, you know, playing very well recently, and it's going to be tough to have these bench units get switched off a lot. But hey, you know what? There's a lot of things that this team can do because of their depth. They do have a lot of players in this team. They kind of go 1 to 12, 1 to 15, you know, it could be 1 to 15 soon with a few signings. A very deep team because they just have almost everybody can contribute. Barbosa, who was at the end of the bench, barely was able to get into games, is arguably one of the best playmakers you want on your team. There aren't that many guys out there that are better than Barbosa off the, you know, just taking the ball and attacking. So, you know, there are a lot of ways that this team can go forward. And I'm just, you know, we're sounding very positive here, which is kind of crazy because, you know, not too many people out there are going to be this positive. And we're kind of taking the, you know, the half of the story that we're saying, okay, they're going to do well, or they're going to have the opportunity to do well because they're going to go for it. The other side may be, you know, this team crumbles. They could just completely play like they did in the first half of the season and, you know, subtract Rondo from that, which would be a killer because they don't have, you know, the ability to have a point guard. Because right now they're pretty much struggling at the point guard position, and we really don't know what they're going to do to improve this offense. We don't know if they're going to be able to improve the team at all. Danny Ainge might sit on his hands because he doesn't want to make any drastic moves. We don't know. But if they don't do anything, and they stay what they are, I'd rather have them making the playoffs because a fringe lottery team, you know, 14, 15, 10, you know, they might get a few lottery balls to get, you know, maybe get lucky, but I think I'd rather be in the playoffs no matter what for this season.
Adam, let me ask you something. How far do you think this team, as currently constructed, can go?
All right, well, most likely they'll be the 8 seed because I just don't think that they'd be able to attack, you know, be able to go up on anybody. But the Heat don't want to see them in the first round. The Heat might be able to, you know, the Heat have a very good chance of advancing past them. They do. But I would put them pushing the Heat to a 6 or 7 game series in that first round, and the Heat would be pretty scared, but they would be able, I think the Heat would be able to finish the Celtics off in the first round, you know, of that type of series.
All right, and let me ask you my next question. If your prediction were to come true, then would you, right now, at this point in time, knowing that you're going to play the Heat in the first round, it's going to be competitive, but once again, you're going to come up short, would you move Garnett or Paul Pierce?
I wouldn't move Garnett because he's playing at an all-time level. Pierce, we've seen from time to time, he's playing on fumes. We saw it in Atlanta on Friday night, and that was one of the worst. He went to double OT, couldn't even run. He was just hurting out there. And you know, he had a gutsy effort today in another double overtime game, but at least had the day off to rest. But, you know, it was just frustrating to see him out there. And he is on his last legs. And I know the loyalty that he has gone through. He played through so many years, and especially went through that really down time where it was the first few years of the Doc Rivers time here, and it was just ugly. It was just bad, and I just felt bad. And he gutted through it, and it was amazing to see that. But in order to improve this Celtics team, and you need to trade Pierce to get that big man, to get that point guard, I do it. I do it 100 times out of 100 times, and I keep Garnett. That's my move.
There you have it. Emotional, because there's certainly a split between allowing Pierce to retire a Celtic, which at the moment seems like resigning yourself to not winning a championship, or do you move him in an effort to brighten your future, and maybe you bring in a player like Rudy Gay, which still keeps your title chances right along where they currently are.
Do you really think that Memphis would still be willing to get rid of Rudy Gay, even with them, you know, going with that Maurice Spates trade recently and getting under the cap?
Yeah, you know, obviously I have not talked to the Grizzlies, but what I've read is that trade got them under the cap, and yet they're still very open to moving Rudy Gay. They've still made a couple calls and put some flyers out to teams that he can be had for the right offer. And the best offer they're going to get is Paul Pierce, because he accomplishes everything they're looking to do. They get a small forward who will keep them in competition. And with only $4 million guaranteed next season, they shave a lot of salary off.
It's a very good point, and I wouldn't mind seeing that trade. I, you know, that trade in itself, you know, I wouldn't do that 100% of the time, but you have to at least consider it, because this Celtics team is still in the need of scoring, still in the need of an athletic player that can you know, be a dynamic type of guy. But we don't know if Jeff Green's going to be able to take over like that. Rudy Gay has shown that he has. But I was really impressed by that Jeff Green slam-a-jam-a dunk that he just kind of went out of the gym with over, I think it was Chris Bosh, and that was amazing. Like, you know, he can sky, and he's had two of his best games this season against two of the best teams in the NBA, in the Thunder and Heat. So I'm impressed with the depth of this team, going back to that. But, you know, going forward, they're going to have to make some moves if they want to make the playoffs this year. I'm sorry, if they want to advance up the ladder in the East and be able to be a force to be reckoned with in this playoffs.
Yeah, if the Celtics were young and you take Pierce and Garnett out of the equation, then you can live with getting to the playoffs and seeing what happens. But with Garnett and Pierce, it's championship or bust. Anything else really doesn't matter. And so I look at it as, what are you going to do, Danny? Are you going to strengthen this team to keep them and win a championship? Or, like you, I'm with you, keep Garnett. And I have my loyalties to Paul Pierce, but if the right offer comes along, I think it's time that you pull the trigger.
I'm glad.
I hate me to say it, but I think it's time.
I'm glad that you're on my side with this one because, you know, we were debating whether it's worth it to keep him on this, you know, on this roster and be able to keep pushing through with, you know, when he's really down the dumps. And I don't know if it's worth it to have him, you know, to have him still struggling to run out there. And that's why I find it so frustrating. And, you know, it's such a tough decision. Most likely in the end, the Celtics will trade fringe parts and draft picks for the center. They won't be able to get the franchise point guard. They won't be able to get a guy who's going to be able to really help them in the backcourt. I think they're going to stick with their backcourt. You know, please tell me what you think about this, because I'm thinking that this is what they'll lean towards. They'll trade those, you know, Wilcox type players for a bigger center, you know, an Okafor type, and picks for Okafor, and be able to get that center. But I don't know if they're going to be able to go any further, get the point guard. I think they got the sign off the scrap, you know, off the wire, the guards, if they're going to get any guards.
Adam, let me ask you this, and I really haven't done my research on this, so I apologize for putting you on the spot here, but why not move some contracts around, some of the cheaper ones, you know, the guys who make under $1 million, which is Wilcox, Collins, and Barbosa is on that list, as much as fans want to keep the Brazilian blur. And look over to some of the better talent in Europe and see if you can lure a good player in Europe away who you think could help this team currently. You don't have to give up anything besides, you know, waiving a couple veteran minimum players. And you could bring in a good name player from Europe to help compete for a championship.
You're not going after Gilbert Arenas, who's in China, right? You're not going after him. Okay, I just wasn't sure. I thought you were like kind of sneaking towards that, where you're like, you know what? Maybe he could turn this around. He could be that dynamic player that they, yeah, but he's too old. He is. I'm glad.
I don't need to see how the Arenas experiment.
You mean you don't want to see 24 hours of Marbury or Arenas online showing you everything that he's doing? Like, I think he was eating Vaseline at one point, which is very odd. And those were some weird times, especially for the Celtics. But remember, Sam Cassell signed right at the end of the season of the 08 year. P.J. Brown signed the end of the season. And those guys proved to be pretty important parts. More P.J. than Sammy, but Sam was still part of that team and, you know, gave us some minutes. We're deeper than we were then. We're deeper as a team. We just don't know. We just have much talent overall, because the big three are either, you know, one's in Miami, the other ones are definitely down a little bit. But Kevin Garnett is arguably one of the better centers in the league, and we see it. He is a starter for this year's All-Star game, which is amazing. And he's gotten the respect, which is amazing, because Celtics players do not get starting. They haven't gotten a starter in a while for the All-Star team. This year they get two, and maybe Pierce is going to end up replacing Rondo on the team. We'll see what happens, but they play this year, KG especially, like it's his last year again. And then maybe next year, I don't know how he's doing this at such an age. Over 35. This guy, maybe it's that he has less weight on him than Pierce does, and that's why he's able to keep it going a little bit easier, and he's able to get around. But we saw some huge rebounds today, and he is still dominating on the inside. And he can actually be an offensive force more than he was before. And he's going to take advantage of this. I know Sean Grady was pointing out a few times where he said he's not passing this ball. Even though his inklink wants him to pass it, he's taking it to the hoop and putting it up there. Most of those times, went in. It went down, and he scored.
I love it. It's what Doc has been lobbying for years for Garnett to do, and now you see him doing it. What I'll say about the difference between Garnett and Pierce is, you remember how athletic Garnett was when he came into the league. That's never been Pierce's game. So Pierce now, with the weight, although for him, he's in good shape. You know, could he lose a couple pounds? Always. But still in good shape. And it's just a question of, it's purely just an age thing with Pierce. You know, the wear and tear of how many years he's been in the league combined with his age. Now, he can still control the game offensively and play at his own pace, which, despite the recent shooting woes, still able to play pretty well. He had a 40-point game not that long ago, despite how it feels like it's a distant memory. It's defensively where he's now a liability because he's 2-3 steps slower. And then with Garnett, he still has that liftoff, that jump. And playing the five is so much better for his knees and his durability. I'll knock on wood as I say that. But
yeah, we can't afford a KG injury.
No. And you've seen how it's kind of rejuvenated his career, starting with last year when he first moved to the five.
It's amazing to see what he's doing, and people are giving him more recognition than they were before, but he's doing things that players don't do at this age. It's like baseball guys who are able to stick around. The only reason why baseball guys were able to do that recently is because of steroids. Kevin Garnett's not taking any human growth hormones to impress himself here. He's doing this all on his own natural skill, really, and his natural everything. It's amazing to see what he's doing, and that's the reason why I think the Celtics team does have a chance. I don't know how much they can put on his shoulders, but they have the depth, and they have some skill, and they can compete. They really can, and I'm looking forward to this. I am so excited. I can tell you, today, I almost teared up, really, because it was one of the most exciting things that I saw the Celtics do in this Kevin Garnett era in my life. This was one of those culminating games that I was excited to see and enjoyed watching every single second of it, and I couldn't look away. It was one of those best ones ever, and I loved it.
Yeah, this just had a 2008-type feel to it, and this game really did. It didn't just feel like a playoff game, and I'm not the only person to say this. It felt like an NBA Finals game. The competitive nature from both sides, the emotion of the crowd, all the storylines going into it. Believe me, with Rondo out, I wish this was the end of the season, but it really did feel that way.
The ugliness that the Celtics made that game was the true art of what they do in this Kevin Garnett era. They make it tough on other teams, and as I said before, kept them under 100 points in double overtime, which is amazing. And that's what they do, even with the defensive liabilities in Paul Pierce, in Jason Terry. You know, they really stepped up this game, and I was impressed to see what they did. And, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait for the rest of this regular season. Even if they're an 8 seed, they get bounced in the first round. No matter what Danny Ainge does to this team, this is going to be one of my favorite seasons ever in basketball history, in sports history. I will enjoy this season more than almost any other year. Now, starting now.
I completely agree with you. I'm very excited. I'm not going to pull a Dwight Howard and say the season starts today, but it really is a new season going forward without Rondo. And you look at the depth chart, and it's still a pretty strong team. So the question is, what do you have here? You can point to it on paper. You can point to the one-game sample we now have, but it'll be very interesting to watch the Celtics team going forward.